Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, everybody. Great to have you with us. Sean, you mentioned yesterday about putting in a good word for me with Santa.
Yes.
Any headway?
Yes. Let's hope.
What do you mean, let's hope? No.
Everything was covered on my end. We were able to dust off the magic radio and turn it on, granted at a time of day when we normally don't turn it on, because that's normally at 6 o'clock on WKOK weeknights for a few more nights before Christmas Eve. But I was able to turn it on, make a direct connect, put a good word in for you. So my fingers are crossed for you.
Well, that means it's not going to happen.
You have little faith. Hope, man. You got to have hope.
Well, I hope the suit would make it to today, and he did. So I suppose hope pays off.
He has made it to today. Yes.
Second hour of the show, we're going to get a complete preview of USC. We'll have a reporter on from the Los Angeles Times. Ty Blackledge, final half hour.
Yeah, phenomenal interview that you did a few weeks back, so we'd replay it again for those who missed it.
And so we'll be doing that. Tomorrow, Dan Duggan, NJ.com, on the Giants-Eagles matchup. He is the beat writer for the New York Giants. Neil Coulong on the Steelers. Interesting story here in this area. You know, there are various cable companies. I mean, Comcast is obviously a primary for many. But for example, you know, in Sunbury, not everybody has Comcast. Was it Service Electric? Who has that?
You are correct.
Yeah. Well, in Altoona, they have the company is Atlantic Broadband. Right, Altoona. Guess what they don't have?
NFL Network.
Bingo. Major, big-time Steeler pocket of love. No NFL Network on Atlantic Broadband. Huge problem. So you'd say to yourself, well, you know, they probably can go to a restaurant or a bar. It's Christmas! No. Now, I'm sure there's some enterprising individual down in Altoona right now saying, you know, maybe if we open up, we could get some quick Christmas cash.
Yeah, I can think of one or two that should pull that off.
Oh, they will.
Mm-hmm.
You know they will. I'm just saying, that is a big story here, because it turns out they don't have it. And it's not one of those things where you say, you know, I think for this week we can do it. No. Either you do or you don't. They don't. Now, I realize that I'm sure there's some enterprising individual in the NFL office that is saying, now see, this is our way of, by putting a game on NFL Network like this. And this was predetermined. This was done back in, what, June, July? That it would force more cable companies to carry NFL Network. You and I both know that strategy doesn't work very well. It just doesn't. And I don't know. I mean, that is, you know, I know you're a huge Steeler fan. What would you do if you couldn't see the game?
I would definitely get on my phone and do some networking and do whatever I could to find someone that would have the game for sure.
Well, what I did was I talked to a friend of mine today who is going to his mother's house, and she lives down near Altoona. And he said to me, he said, I wonder if I can get the game. And I said, "Are you on, does she have Atlantic broadband?" He said, yeah. I said, no, you won't. He says, oh, what am I going to do? And I said, well, do you have your tablet or device? He said, yeah. I said, just bring it up on your tablet. And if you have, for example, Apple TV or access to Apple TV, you can then put it up on a big screen. Now, I just uttered words out of my mouth that I never dreamed in my life I'd say. That I would even have the knowledge of how to do that.
Well, but you're the owner of an iPhone and an iPad, but, you know, I'm not surprised you would say Apple TV.
Years ago, and I'm going, this is back in the late 90s. Now, none of this existed in the late 90s, obviously. But I was doing a summer show. The show was entitled 15 Minutes. It was on WPSU-TV. Patty Satalia for years did a show entitled Take Note. Well, this was the summer replacement for Take Note. And I did the show for 7 years. So I had a wide variety of guests on that show. And they brought in an author. Name escapes me. And he wrote a book, and the book was entitled Being Digital. And he gave a speech at Penn State, and when the speech at Penn State was done about going into the digital age, we were able to procure him to be a guest on the show. Perfect. Now, I'll freely admit he treated our crew lousy, so I was not exactly enamored with him.
Does the name Nicholas Negroponte ring a bell?
That's exactly what it was.
1995 book.
Yeah. Well, he did not treat the crew well. And you know me and loyalty. I am an ultra loyal individual, and I let him know in no uncertain terms that he owed every person on that crew an apology, which he did, because he wasn't nice. But that's a side story. During the interview, I asked him what can someone of my age, you know, at this point, I'm going back to say 97 maybe, so we'd be going back almost 20 years. So I'd be at that point 37, 38 years old. Okay. 38 years old. I said, what can someone my age do to adapt to a digital world? And I remember his response like it was yesterday. It's two words. Have kids. He said, what will happen is that the kids will be the ones engaged in the digital world, and they'll teach the adults how all the devices work. And he's exactly right. I just mentioned Apple TV. Well, last year for Christmas, my kids chipped in, and they bought me an iPad, which has been invaluable to me in terms of the ability to watch tape and things like that that I use. And then for my birthday, they doubled down on that, and they got me Apple TV. So, in turn, they taught me how to mirror my device to my TV set, And that is the only reason I was able to give the answer I gave this morning. Because if it was left to my own devices, I'd be like, I don't know, I think you're stuck listening to the radio.
I've only ever operated Apple TV once and was over at a friend's house back in March, and he is a diehard wrestler, so a wrestling fan. So we were watching the NCAA Wrestling Championships from Madison Square Garden, and by controlling his iPad, we were going from match to match, and I was following it on Twitter, trying to keep tabs when the next Penn State wrestler was going to be coming up. Like, oh, for example, oh, Bo Nickel is in the hole on Matt 4, so we'd be able to queue up Matt 4 and not miss a match that we wanted to see. It's pretty neat.
No, exactly. And I use it, for example, when I want to watch tape. And if I want to take some time or I really want to lock in on it and put it on my television, I'll sit there and go, all right, let's see what I want to watch. I want to watch USC Washington. I want to watch all the offensive plays that USC ran. Boom. Mirror it. I have it. I look at it. And then I can skip to wherever I want to go. I say, all right, you know, they went 3-and-out in that series. Let's move to this scoring drive. I want to see the scoring drive. What did they do? Here they went 3-and-out. What did they do wrong? See, and I can do that. And it's only because my kids taught me how to do it. Like, okay. Good news. But Nicholas Negroponte, as much as he mistreated people that particular day, was absolutely right in his answer as to how to handle a digital world, because my children have opened up my eyes as to how to do things. And I am amazed at the number of things I can do now in a digital world, from editing to mirroring, that I never dreamed I'd have the capability of doing. Now, I don't do any of it well, but well enough to get by. Now, back to the original piece about Santa Claus. No hint at all, like nothing.
Didn't get an actual reply back from the big guy, but we were.
But we were able to make the connection. That's bad. That's bad. I was kind of hoping, like, oh, yeah, okay. Something like that opened the door of hope, and like no answer is.
Great big gold star is still in the works.
Hey, it's kind of like when, you know, I got asked to go to some sponsored dinner out in Los Angeles. I still haven't answered that one yet. I still haven't answered that request yet. Jack and I are going to talk before we answer the question.
Well, I figure by the time you're going to be heading off the plane, he'd be waiting for you and be taking you right to the restaurant.
Oh, exactly.
Wishful thinking?
No, he and Joanne are going to be, I think they're going out.
I knew you said he was going to be there before you, for sure.
Yeah, he is, because they're going to Carmel. But they do that every year, so it's not foreign. And he's actually taking my spot on the plane on the way back, because I'm going to Detroit. Because I have to do basketball in Ann Arbor on the 4th, so that's why I'm looking today. They had to evacuate LAX for a period of time. They found some suspicious something, whatever. It led to nothing, but I'm thinking to myself, don't do that. Not the day I'm trapped. Don't do that. Just get me to Chicago. If I get to Chicago and I get stuck, I'll rent a car. I'll get the heck out of there. I can get to Detroit from Chicago. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Santa will be along later, and I mean, Sean essentially just, like, a minute on the air, he did nothing. So I mean, really. I mean, the suit would have gone to bat.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, the suit with a deep pocket of loyalty. Because he would have felt like his job was on the line. No. Have we seen the suit lately? I mean, part myth, part man.
We have seen him today. He's doing well.
Why was he in the building? Isn't there stuff to sell?
Yeah, I guess he has been. He's been busy going out of the office and out to the front desk to Sammy and taking care of paperwork. And by the looks of things, he's getting stuff done today.
Oh, good, good, good. Because I asked him what he thought of Rogue One. He said he's seen it 5 times. Mostly matinees.
Hey, who was disappointed in Rogue One? Star Wars fan movie Mike. I was really disappointed in it.
Really?
Yeah, I was really surprised about that. I kind of felt bad for Mike about that.
It's always to each his own.
Yes.
And I've always talked about that repeatedly, to each his own on everything. But I have never been a Star Wars fan. Never.
I saw the first two in theaters, 77, and then the sequel. I saw the first two in theaters. I don't think I saw Return of the Jedi. That came out in 83 when I was in 12th grade. I saw that later on, but I wasn't a huge Star Wars fan.
Saw the one in 1977, the first one, the original.
Yeah.
And it was done, and I'm like, I hate to admit this, I thought it stunk. And I never went and saw any of the others. I never saw any of the others.
Well, there's so many now, I wouldn't even know where to start to watch one and watching them in the right order.
And again, it's just me. I mean, it was just my personal, all the people that love it, great. I think it's great.
One movie I definitely want to see over the holidays is Sing. Just premiered in theaters today. Animated movie. The group that did Despicable Me put Sing together. And there's over 60 songs, all original. Matthew McConaughey does one of the voices. Reese Witherspoon, Scarlett Johansson. Yeah. Looks really funny. They've been hyping it quite a bit the past couple months.
I think, is McConaughey the voice of the pig, and does the pig drive a Lincoln?
To the audition? Yes, I think.
Just was wondering.
Right.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's Wharf. Another example of why fans should not vote for all-star teams. I don't care for all-star games anyway. Sean Lee's not in the Pro Bowl. Excuse me. Breathalyzer time. You could make an argument he's the MVP of his own team. I mean, everybody loves Elliott and everybody loves Prescott, but no Sean Lee, they're not where they are. Oh, well. I'm not big on all-star games anyway. It doesn't really... He'll make the team, you know, unless the Cowboys are in the Super Bowl, because somebody will have, ooh, I feel a twinge, can't play. Seems to be a trend lately. This day in sports history, 1941, Ray McLean of the Chicago Bears performed a dropkick for an extra point in the NFL. It's 1941. Why is that significant? It would not happen again until Doug Flutie did it for the Patriots 61 years later. 1951, Joe DiMaggio announced his retirement from Major League Baseball. He's one of the great numbers ever. 369 home runs for DiMaggio. 361 strikeouts. How about that? 1959, Tom Landry accepted the position of the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. led the Cowboys to 22 consecutive winning seasons in his 29 years as a coach. His first year, by the way, they went 0-11-1. 1975, John Riggins became the first New York Jets player ever to gain 1,000 yards rushing in a season. 1969, Vince Lombardi coached his last game. His Redskins lost to the Cowboys 20-10. They finished 7-5-2, their first winning season in 14 years. Oh, by the way, his record his first year with the Green Bay Packers, 7-5. NFL Network on its timeline. This is not obviously for the people with Atlantic broadband, but a timeline series did a great documentary on Lombardi's one season with the Redskins. Fascinating.
Yeah, that debuted last Wednesday night, and tonight a new episode of the timeline. They're going to go back and document the Fog Bowl game in Soldier Field between the Eagles and Bears. Of course, Vern Lundquist and Terry Bradshaw were in the booth on CBS Sports that day. It was New Year's Eve,
88. And the reason I know is because I was in Chicago for the Fog Bowl.
Wow.
I had just finished a college basketball tournament in Casper, Wyoming, and I flew from Denver to Chicago, and we flew over Soldier Field. You couldn't see it. Everything else around Soldier Field, you could see. For whatever reason, fog settled in there. I mean, we're flying in like, where's Soldier Field? Then we land, and I'm sitting over at O'Hare, where it's clear as a bell. I mean, I'm talking clear, clear, clear. And we're all laughing our backsides off watching the game on TV because, you know, 10, 15 miles, you know, it couldn't be any nicer where we were. 1975, George Bland, a final regular season game, became the first professional player to reach 2,000 points. 2002 in a 26-year career out of Youngwood, right next to Greensburg. Let's see. 1981, Cincinnati beat Bradley 75-73, seven overtimes. The game was the longest collegiate basketball game in NCAA Division I history. I think it's embarrassing that it took seven overtimes to get the 75 points. Okay. My opinion. And that is this day in sports history. All right. Yeah, there's some great documentaries out there. Great documentaries when it comes to sports. The 30 for 30 series that Bill Simmons started now continues at ESPN is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I think one of the ESPN channels over the Christmas holiday weekend, they're going to do like a 30 for 30 marathon.
Like the Ocho?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, ESPN 8.
I did watch a couple of weeks ago when it debuted after the Heisman Trophy announcement, the Catholics versus Convicts. They did a two-hour movie on that on the Notre Dame-Miami series from the 80s.
Yeah, the kid that had walked onto the Notre Dame basketball team that had been aching in his whole life to play is the one that came up with the T-shirt. And when they found out it was him that came up with the T-shirt, they kicked him off the team. Jags player is not thrilled that they told Gus Bradley he was fired before he got on the team charter. They said, look, you know, when he gets back, then tell him. You know, he had to sit there on the plane on the way back knowing he was no longer the head coach. Eh. It's not sitting well with them. Adrian Peterson is out of their game this week. Janoris Jenkins and Jonathan Casillas, both questionable for tomorrow night's game with the Eagles for the Giants. They say that Casillas is expected to play, but they would be surprised if Jenkins played. We'll have Dan Duggan from NJ.com on the show tomorrow. Give Joe Thomas of the Browns a lot of credit. Made his 10th straight Pro Bowl on a team that is 0-14.
Correct me. I don't think he's missed a start, correct?
Never missed a snap.
I remember on draft day, He was fishing with his dad. Didn't even go to New York. Had the invitation to go, but nah, I want to go fishing.
Yep. Yeah. Shock Linwood says he's skipping the Baylor Bowl game. There are pebbles that are tossed in the ponds that had a greater ripple effect on news than that. Nobody cares. Seriously. I mean, do you care that he's not going to play in the bowl game? The McCaffrey thing's a big thing because McCaffrey in the college game is a star. Shock Linwood thinks he's a star. He's not. So,
I'm hoping with the whole Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, you know, skipping out of the bowl game that this is not going to become a trend.
It's sure. not going to. I think the initial reaction was this. What is this going to do to the bowl system? I don't think it's going to do anything to the bowl system, Sean. I don't think it's going to do anything to it. Let's go with a quick primer on the bowls so that people understand why the initial it's going to hurt the bowl system thing is just it's not real. And here's a couple things. First of all, there are 40 of them. I don't include the national championship game. That's an additional. All right. There are 40 of them. Okay, we can argue whether there are too many or not. I understand that. Of the 40, 37 are televised by ESPN. Of those 37, ESPN owns and operates 13 of them. For ESPN, this is great programming for them. Now, I've got a basketball game this evening with Penn State and Morgan State at the Jordan Center. Now, what am I going to do when the game's over with? I'm going to come home, sit down. I think it's a nice matchup tonight. You know, not awesome and incredible, but a nice matchup tonight between BYU and Wyoming in the Poinsettia Bowl. I'm probably going to watch at least half that game. Why? Because to me, programming-wise, I think it's, for me, my personal enjoyment, best thing on there. You know, for other people, maybe not, but I like the matchup. I like the fact that I have the option of watching it. I also like the fact that I also have the option if I want to not watch it. And if you take any time to walk around at a bowl game, this is what you will see. Here's the next part. 10 after 10 after 10 of what? Sponsors, more sponsors, charity organizations, or charity organizations. Sponsors get involved in these things. The Chamber of Commerce gets involved in these things. And charities benefit from these things. Right? The vast majority of players want to go to a bowl game. I mean, if you want, we can put all the people in the room that did not make bowl games this year. And we can ask them, do you feel badly you're not in a bowl game? They'd all tell you, I wish we'd made it to a bowl game. You know, they want to go. They want to be a part of it. There's so many things for them to do with these things besides play the game. They're not going away. In fact, if some bowls want to go away, there are other cities waiting in the wings. Little Rock wants a bowl game. Austin, Texas wants a bowl game. Charleston and Myrtle Beach both want bowl games. They all want bowl games because they like what it does for their city. You know, the people that rail that there are too many bowl games, I don't recall us putting you in a room, putting handcuffs on you to a chair and forcing you to watch it. You don't have to watch it. If you don't want to watch them because you think there are too many, it's not good enough for you, fine. There's a wide variety of shows I don't watch either. I mean, like I said, I'm after the basketball game tonight, I'm going to put my feet up, have a little bit of dinner, and watch some of the game. Now, at some point, I may change off and watch something else, whatever. But, I mean, as Sean knows, I haven't had a lot of nights to put my feet up in the last few months. Well, this is one of them.
Yeah, I would think tonight's matchup, there'll be a lot more in the stands than there were on Monday, the Miami Beach Bowl with Tulsa and Central Michigan, 500 team. Darren Revelle, the business reporter of ESPN, tweeted a sky shot of the Marlins Stadium where the game was being played, and there was only people like half of half the stadium. It looked, may not have been 5,000 or 6,000 people there.
Right. Well, and that's one of the issues. They're saying they're not well attended. Now, we're going to get to a point where I think tonight, for example, tonight's game is going to be decently attended. Wyoming is a really good fan base. BYU usually travels really, really well. And obviously, as these things go and we build up to next weekend, you know, Outback Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, obviously, I mean, there'll be 93,000 plus at the Rose Bowl.
And that's a nice close proximity between the two teams that are playing tonight, when they're, you know, geographically located between each other.
Right. And then plus they have somewhat of a rivalry because they both were in the Mountain West together for a while and in the WAC before that. So whatever, but they're both good teams. And I saw a little bit of Wyoming play in person at Eastern Michigan back in September. So I'm going to watch a little bit tonight. But I was saying, but that's me. That's how I'm going to relax tonight. I'll probably watch a little bit of Louisville and Kentucky in basketball. I'll probably watch a little bit of Louisville and Kentucky in basketball, and then I'll watch Wyoming and BYU in the Poinsettia Bowl, and you know, maybe at some point, if it gets a little out of hand or whatever, I'll flip over and watch something else. It's, you know, I've been kind of nose to the grindstone over and over and over again here for a few months, so now I've hit a night where it's like it's me and the remote, aka. Did I ever tell you that story about me and the remote in the Rose Bowl? I told you that story, haven't I?
If you have told it, I did not hear it.
All right, for those who have heard it, you're like, oh, here we go again.
But it's new to me. It's new to me.
One time, ESPN wanted to sit down with me for an hour. And this is how all these documentaries, all those things that you see me on BTN and things like that, they'll sit down with me for a half hour, 45 minutes. They'll knock out a wide variety of subjects so they, you know, get it all done at once. Well, ESPN decided to do this, and it was an hour. And it turned out later, I found out that bits and pieces of whatever I said, pearls of wisdom, were used in 7 different documentaries that they did on college football, which was, that was neat to hear. Well, the first 40 minutes were all about Joe Paterno, Penn State football, Penn State history, great moments, great players, things like that. Then they said, hey, we had 20 minutes to go. And I said, okay, as we'd like to ask you a lot of general college football questions. And I said, well, okay, great. So they asked me a wide variety of questions. And this was in January that I had done this. So 11 and a half months later, right about this time of the year, there's nobody home, whatever, and I'm sitting there with a remote, and I'm flipping through the channels, and boom, on ESPN, a documentary, History of the Rose Bowl. I'm sitting there, and I'm just sitting in the family room going, oh, that's great, I love the Rose Bowl. Right? So I start watching it, you know, I'm like, this is great. Right? And all of a sudden, I come on the screen. And I go, oh. And all of a sudden, I say, look, they care a lot more about the parade than they do about the game. I'm like, oh! That's what I said? That's what you used? Are you kidding me?
My pearls of wisdom ended up on the editing room floor.
Well, it was interesting. I actually was used like 3 other times in the documentary, and I can't remember a flaming thing I said the other 3 times I was on. That I remember like it was yesterday. I was like, are you kidding me?
Well, it's like people in this business, you know, they get critiqued and air checked, and for some reason the breaks on the microphone you think about the most are the ones that were kind of below 100%, and you beat yourself up over them.
I'm sitting there like, now I did not say something that was not true, and that is actually one of the issues of teams going to the Rose Bowl. They have a manual. It's about 2 inches thick on the Rose Bowl. But in terms of TLC that the teams get, you know, the Rose Bowl guys, they're stretched thin and they work really hard. But the parade is a major, major emphasis. And I've been to the parade twice. Okay, I went there for the 95 parade, and I was there for the 2009 parade. I'm not going to the parade this time. I'm just doing the game. And the part of it is that I've gone to the parade. So, like, the old been there, done that. And when I went, I mean, last time I went, I mean, I saw the whole thing. This time I'm just going to do the game. Just want to lock in and do that. And to me, that's going to be my fun. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Santa, all of these wish lists say they want a new Kia.
No worries, Jingle. It's the Holidays Hot Us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Want to see you in a Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia can fill everyone's wish list with a new Kia. It's Kia's Holidays on Us sales event. Just listen to this gift from Sunbury Motors Kia. No payments until May.
You heard right, May.
Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months on all 2017 Fortes and Serenos. And all remaining 2016 Optima and Optima Hybrids. Plus 2016 Optimas and Optima Hybrids also have $500 bonus cash. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So go ahead, overspend on presents for the family, because you'll still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia.
The holidays are on us!
At Sunbury Motors Kia, on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Warranty is limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Coming up tomorrow, Dan Duggan, NJ.com. And we'll talk about the Giants and Eagles matchup tomorrow night. Dan is the beat writer for the New York Giants. And also tomorrow, Neil Coulong on the Steelers matchup with the Ravens. We're going to have the beat writer for USC football from the LA Times on the next half hour. Todd Blackledge, final half hour. Coming up on Friday's show, Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. So we have a lot going on this week heading into the holiday. We are not cruising home on the holiday week.
And, of course, Brother Kevin back on Friday, too. Got more picks to do.
Yeah, more picks to do. We're looking forward to that. This time we'll be suitless.
And the bowl picks, he and Kevin are currently tied for first.
Again, the championship belt is at stake. The suit is the two-time defending champion, and my brother's already nipping at his heels.
Kevin Hur is still beating himself up about taking Arkansas State in that game, where he'd be undefeated right now. He'd be in the lead.
Okay, who'd they play?
Right.
Don't look at me. I don't know.
That was that infamous Cure Bowl game with UCF.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember I picked UCF because they said they were the home team. How'd that work?
That's right there with you. I picked them, too.
I mean, UCF went on a 10-play drive. They're still out there trying to score on it. Arkansas State already went home.